You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Balls, your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, radio personality at The Sports Animal right here in Knoxville, a writer for the VolQuest.com website. That's the rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting, and it's a new week. 1-0 under our belts for Tennessee football, and that was a 38-6 win over Bowling Green on Thursday. We had an instant reaction podcast. Great numbers, by the way. Thank you all for listening to that podcast. And now we put our front foot forward while we reflect a little bit on that game again here on a Monday, but we start looking towards Pittsburgh this week, especially Tuesday on throughout Friday. So it's going to be a fun show today. In segment number one, we will continue to reflect on that Bowling Green win. I will give out my position previews for offense, the quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, and quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and the offensive line. In segment two, I'll do the same thing for defense, plus special teams and coaching grades. And then in segment number three, I went back and rewatched the Bowling Green victory on Sunday afternoon. I will give you out some of my notes that I picked up on the second time around. All that and more here on a Monday show. Today's show focuses primarily still on the Bowling Green game, but again, we'll hear from Pat Narduzzi on tomorrow's show, some comments from his appearance on The Nation. Josh Heupel will speak to the media on Monday, and we'll continue to look forward to the Panthers, who are coming off a big-time 50-some-odd-7 victory over UMass on Saturday. 51-7 victory over UMass on Saturday. So, college football is the talk, Tennessee football is the talk, but don't forget the NFL season. It's about to begin, and nobody covers it just like the Locked On Podcast Network. August the 30th through September the 8th, Locked On's ultimate season preview is taking you through every single team, every single division, with the help of Odyssey's Ross Tucker and Jason Lockenfora. You can follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, that began on August the 30th and going through September the 8th. Let's get into it. This is a Monday Locked On Vols. So let's start with the quarterback position, the grade for Joe Milton. Okay, so Hendon Hooker came in. He threw one pass for 5 yards there in mop-up duty at the very end of the game. Joe Milton, like I said on Friday morning show, week one openers are never as good as they seem or never as bad as they seem. Usually it's somewhere kind of right there in the middle. A lot of overreaction to week one games. And, you know, Tennessee got the easy win. It was very underwhelming, like I said on Friday's podcast, kind of walking out of Neyland Stadium. But when you look at some of the other scores around college football this weekend, I mean, hey, could it have been worse? Absolutely. Am I right? Let's talk about Joe Milton. Finished the game 11 of 23, 140 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 61 yards on the ground. He only netted 44 because of two sacks, but he rushed for two touchdowns on the ground. The thing about Joe Milton that was kind of a sour taste in your mouth on Friday morning, Thursday night after the game, was his inaccuracies there in the second quarter on. I mentioned on the podcast Friday morning that after quarter number one, Joe Milton was 10 of 12 for 96 yards. That was after quarter number one. Again, 10 of 12 for 96 yards. At the end of the ball game, Joe Milton finished 11 of 23. So he was 1 for 11 in his last three quarters for 140 yards, 40 of which came on that touchdown to Cedric Tillman in the fourth quarter, which was a touchdown. Okay? So he didn't finish off the game the way you want to throwing the football. That's obvious. He overshot Cedric Tillman a couple of times. He had a couple of drops. Jalen Hyatt had two drops. Princeton Fant had a crucial drop. I'm not going to put all this on Joe Milton because I do believe the wide receivers were a little misaligned at times, had some drop skis, stuff like that. But overall, Joe Milton's got to play better. If Tennessee's going to win, Joe Milton has got to play better. And Bowling Green was Bowling Green. It's only going to get tougher from here on out. It's going to get tougher against Pittsburgh. We know that, right? So Joe Milton gets a C in my book. A lot of people think I might be, grading, giving a generous grade there, which I do want to point out. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I grade pretty tough. But we'll see, right? I'm going to give Joe Milton a C because of his inaccuracies from second quarter on, because of his overthrows of Cedric Tillman that could have resulted in two touchdowns because he lacked scanning the fields at time, working through his progression. I'm going to give him a C. The reason I give him a C was because he did affect the game in a major way running the football. Tennessee can call keeps, can call draws, and on third and short, and you saw it a couple times against Bowling Green, on third and short, All Joe Milton has to do is get that football and rumble ahead a couple yards, and I mean, that's a game changer. Harrison Bailey can't do that. Jared Garantano couldn't do that, right? It's a game changer. So because of his ability to run the football and affecting the game, specifically on third and short and on the goal line situations where, hey, you saw two rushing touchdowns. The second one, I'll mind you, the end didn't crash, and he kept and he had to run around the end, then stiff arm a linebacker coming across. That was the wrong read, but he's so athletic that it didn't matter. He out-athleted them. There we go. Getting into the end zone. I'm going to give him a C. A lot of room to improve, and Joe Milton has to improve for Tennessee to get where they want to be. We'll move on. The running backs, A. I mean, how in the world could you do anything other than an A right there, right? Now, again, Bowling Green's Bowling Green. I understand that, but Tyon Evans and Jabari Small both netted 116 yards on the ground, both scored a touchdown. Tyon Evans averaged over 7 yards a carry. He had 16 carries, 116 yards. That's over 7 yards a carry. That is really, really good. Jabari Small was just as impressive. He was the lead back in the offense on Thursday night. He netted 116 yards on 22 carries. He averaged over 5 yards per carry. Tennessee will take that, and Tennessee will need that a lot of the time, especially when the wide receivers and the quarterbacks are not on the same page and the quarterback is struggling. So offensive line, we'll get to in a minute. Hat tip to you. Had two guys rush for over 100 yards. That is a job well done. We move on to the tight ends. You know, tight ends, it was kind of hard to grade a little bit because they were not active in the passing game whatsoever. You had two receptions for, combined, mind you, for Jacob Warren and for Princeton Fant. Jacob's Warren reception came on the opening drive. It was the first completion for Joe Milton. It was a play-action rollout, hit Jacob Warren for a gain of, 4 yards? And then Princeton Fant caught his reception later on in the game, also had a costly drop. I thought they blocked overall well in the run game, very important in the run game. Princeton Fant had a really nice block on a split zone whenever Ollie Lane came across the center, kicked out the end man on the line of scrimmage. Princeton Fant led up and blocked, and Tyon Evans was able to score. I believe that was a late second quarter touchdown, maybe third quarter touchdown. Nonetheless, it looked really, really good. So I'll give the tight ends a B-. You've got to be more involved in the pass game. You've got to be more involved in the pass game. So B- for the tight ends. Wide receivers, much like the quarterback and Joe Milton, I'm going to give you a C. A lot of times misaligned. A lot of times had a case of the dropskies. Jalin Hyatt had two drops that were crucial. The first drop, yes, the ball was thrown a little bit behind him. He had his hands on it, should have brought it in. The second drop could have been a touchdown, okay? Jalin Hyatt's got to get better. Jalin Hyatt led the team with 9 targets, only had 4 receptions. You got to be better there. Cedric Tillman had 2 receptions, 48 yards, of course, a touchdown. Was second on the team with 7 targets. So it was obvious Joe Milton was looking towards Hyatt and towards Tillman for the majority of the time. You go past those two guys, Javonta Payton had 2 receptions for 15 yards and 3 on 3 targets. 2 of those receptions came on drive number 1 of the ball game. Why was Javonta Payton not more involved in the passing game, you know, past that first drive on? I don't know. He was only targeted 3 times the entire game. He needs to be more of a focal point in the offense. Jabari Small was targeted once out of the backfield for a reception for 5 yards. Bayless Jones, again, who's been battling hamstring injuries, he didn't have a reception in this ball game. He was targeted 3 times. You've got to get Bayless way more involved. You got to continue feeding Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman. They've got to come down with more receptions. Some of these are on the quarterback. I get it, but you got to do a little bit better job on being on the same page with your quarterback. New quarterback, week 1, year 1, new head coach, the perfect storm, right? So wide receivers are going to get a C from me. As we move on, hopefully Jimmy Callaway, hopefully Jimmy Holiday, hopefully Romel Keaton, 2 of the 3 I just mentioned, with the exception of Holiday, didn't play in this ball game. Hopefully they can become healthy and more involved in this offense as well as we move on. Move on now to the offensive line, the last one here for segment number 1. I'm going to give it a B-, partially because of the competition it was facing, but I thought the offensive line did a fine job. Gave up 2 sacks, 1 sack. Came in the B gap. You had Cade Mays blocking a head up. You had Javonta Spraggins blocking down on, I believe, a 4-eye. I don't know what technique he was. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, excuse me. But you had Mays blocking a guy. You had Spraggins blocking a guy. The linebacker split him, came right in that B gap, and sacked Joe Milton. That's when he fumbled. Tyon Evans was the running back, and he stepped up towards the A gap and not towards the B gap to pick up that backer. Now, I think that is on Tyon Evans, but I'm not going to say that's on Tyon Evans. I'm just going to kind of group this with the offensive line in terms of, you know, giving up a sack. So, gave up 2 sacks. The offense was 7-15 on third downs, which is really, really good. The offense was also 5-5 in the red zone, scoring 4 touchdowns, which is really, really good. Tennessee had 471 yards of total offense, over 5 yards per play, ran 88 plays. All that is great, great stuff. Plus the injury to Cooper Mays, and you had to shuffle the deck, Jerome Carvin down to center, Ollie Lane into guard. I thought Tennessee's offensive line did a pretty good job, but you've got to find a way to get even more, especially when this offensive line or this offense was struggling in quarters two and parts of quarters three. You got to find a way to get a little bit more. You had a costly penalty, a couple of penalties, a costly penalty that just disrupted a complete drive from Darnell Wright, holding penalty there in the second quarter. That can't happen, especially against this competition. So offensive line, this is where I'm grading hard now. I'm nitpicking B minus, but overall I thought the offensive line had a pretty good day. Those are the offensive grades. Where do you agree? Where do you disagree? We'll have some social media content on this throughout the day. A quarterback a C, running backs A, tight ends B minus, wide receiver C, and offensive line B minus as well. We'll go over this for the defense in segment number two, but first, guys, Stat Hero. All right, go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you 300% match. That is absolutely unheard of if you go to stathero.com/lockedon. Okay, you're in control of what you want to do. Stat Hero is DFS the way it's meant to be, one-on-one. Okay, introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control of the winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineup and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Okay, you name the stakes. Winner take all, you have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineup ahead of time. Again, no one else does that whatsoever. So, stathero.com/lockedon, 300% match. Again, unheard of as well. Get it all at stathero.com/lockedon. And a big shout out to Renaissance Bank. The only thing more exciting than maybe winning big on stathero.com is, you know, finding a home and owning it. The experts at Renaissance Mortgage are here for you. A wide variety of mortgage options to meet your home financial needs, whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to finance your forever home. Heath, he's going to guide you through that process to find the right option for you. Heath has been in the mortgage industry for over 26 years, successfully helping over 10,000 families with their home financing. Renaissance Bank is a large enough firm to offer a wide variety of products, but small enough to provide a custom, hands-on service to your clients just like a community bank should. Call Heath Albritton today at 615-347-0578. That's Heath Albritton at 615-347-0578. 0578, or visit them online at therenaissancebank.com. That's Heath Albritton, NMLS number 1964-53, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans are subject to underwriting credit approval. Bank NMLS number 402-669. Segment two of a Monday show happening right now, Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Twitter at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. Don't forget, guys, Twitter Tuesday is coming up tomorrow. Any questions, any comments, any concerns you guys have on Tennessee football, looking back at Bowling Green, which we're doing a little bit today, looking ahead at Pittsburgh, which we'll be doing all this week from now until Friday. But, of course, it's for Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. Get those questions in at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. My DMs are open. For those of you guys that have my personal cell phone, you can blow me up there, too. We'll answer all those tomorrow for a Twitter Tuesday. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. All right. I recorded this entire segment right now, and I'm such a dumbass. I accidentally deleted it. And so this is take two for segment number two. Maybe I'll sound a little bit better, a little bit smarter. Probably not. Let's go ahead and talk about the defensive grade, shall we? Let's start with the defensive line. B. Okay, that unit got 2 sacks. It helped in aiding only 32 rushing yards against from Bowling Green. That unit alone corralled 6 tackles for loss. Tennessee had 11.5 tackles for loss on the game, but the secondary did a really good job in getting that as well. Theo Jackson was involved. Alante Taylor was involved. Jalen McCullough was involved. We'll get to that here in a moment for the DBs. But for the defensive line, overall, did what you were supposed to do. You got a pass rush, you changed the line of scrimmage, you controlled the line of scrimmage, and you got a lot of tackles, so your linebackers didn't have to. And then against an inferior opponent that had no combined starts amongst the five in terms of the offensive line for Bowling Green, had a true freshman starting at center, had a converted defensive lineman playing right tackle in game number one, Tennessee's defensive line did exactly what it was supposed to. I wish Tennessee's defensive line would have got a couple more sacks. Tennessee overall as a defense should have gotten some turnovers, didn't get one turnover all game, which was not good. My bold prediction on the GameQuest podcast for VolQuest Thursday morning was Tennessee would get four turnovers. That didn't happen. It's called a bold prediction for a reason, right? So Tennessee's defensive line, job well done. You get a B. Linebackers, I'll give you a C. Biggest concern for Tennessee's linebackers, where was Juwan Mitchell? Had people reaching out to me on Friday saying, hey, why didn't Juwan Mitchell play in that ball game? He didn't show up on the stat sheet. Oh, he played. He started. He played a ton of snaps. He didn't record a stat. He didn't have an assisted tackle. He didn't have a solo tackle. Didn't have anything. Now, having played the position before, shout out Uncle Rico, I understand when you play against inferior opponents, a lot of the times your stats are not what they normally are. Because your defensive line is just dominating up front against an inferior opponent. A lot of the tackles that would come your way don't come your way in a game like that. But still, he didn't show up anywhere on the stat sheet. On my rewatch Sunday afternoon, I kept saying, where's Juwan Mitchell? Where's Juwan Mitchell? He was nowhere to be found. So biggest takeaway, Juwan Mitchell, you got to step up. You got to be Tennessee's best linebacker. You weren't on Thursday. Jeremy Banks, you guys know how tough I am on Jeremy Banks. He played a good game Thursday. He did. And that's great because Tennessee needs Jeremy Banks to play to his level and to his capability. There was one time where Elijah Simmons and some other defensive linemen were holding up the offensive line, and there was an A-gap that was split. I call it, you see green grass, you go and you shoot it, okay? You had a perfect avenue parting like the Red Sea, right? And you had a running back against linebacker, and Jeremy Banks stepped up, met him in the hole, and dropped him. I thought that was a great, great instinctive play by a linebacker, and that's what you're supposed to do. There was another play where they were running a jet sweep. Jalen McCullough set the edge. Jeremy Banks ran the alley and dropped the ball carrier was behind the line of scrimmage for a TFL. So I thought Jeremy Banks did exactly what a linebacker is supposed to do on Thursday night. You need Jeremy Banks to continue that on throughout the rest of the season, right? Because Tennessee needs Jeremy Banks to play good linebacker. Solon Page and Aaron Beasley played a ton. I was not the biggest fan of Tennessee's defensive staff rotating the linebacker groups as much as they did. There's a clear drop-off between Banks and Mitchell and then to Solon Page and Aaron Beasley. It's not even close to. So you can against Bowling Green. You did against Bowling Green. You better not do that against Pittsburgh and beyond because that is just not... It's not how it's done. Okay, again, hashtag not a coach. Don't get paid millions of dollars. Just one man's opinion. You move on to... So the linebackers get a C. Linebackers get a C overall. Would like to see some more game-changing plays. Would like to see some more tackles overall. Would like to see some more forced turnovers or aiding in that aspect. But overall, you didn't do anything majorly wrong. I saw Aaron Beasley give up a couple of passes. Solon Page took some bad angles. Again, where was Juwan Mitchell? You get a C. You were average. It was fine. Not bad. Not great. Linebackers get a C. Defensive backs, you get a B. And this is probably me grading a little harshly, too. Defensive backfield had 5.5 tackles for loss in this game. Theo Jackson played probably his best game in a Tennessee uniform. And that's, you know, that's great. It's going to get tougher. We know that. Just like talking with Jeremy Banks, it's going to get a lot tougher, but off to a good start. Theo Jackson was fast. He was quick. He read things quickly. He had a great burst of energy. He had 11 tackles to lead the team. I thought Theo Jackson was great. I thought Alante Taylor played a good game. I thought Jalen McCullough played a good game as well. Tennessee secondary gave up 187 yards through the air, which is not bad. Of course, whenever Bowling Green can only muster 32 yards on the ground all game, you knew they were going to throw it a ton. I thought Matt McDonald was a little bit better, but Tennessee secondary did pretty well. One concern I do have for the secondary, and again, you got dominated if you're Bowling Green. You only had 11 first downs all game, which is great from the Tennessee defensive staff, right? Or defensive players, right? But of the 11 first downs you've gained, 8 of them came through the air. It's not necessarily the margin you want to see, right? But again, they had nothing on the ground, so they were throwing it all game. Overall, DBs played very, very well. You got a B. Overall, Tennessee's defense, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You gave up 2 second quarter field goals. That was it. You didn't allow a touchdown in this ball game. You allowed 32 yards on the ground. You averaged only, 100? You had only 187 yards given up through the air. Bowling Green overall had 271 yards of total offense, which is fantastic. 219 yards of total offense, only 3.6 yards per play on 61 plays. Again, Tennessee's defense did exactly what it was supposed to do. It held Bowling Green to a 2-of-14 clip on third down, which is really, really good, and 0-for-2 on fourth down. Just go get the football. Go get the football. Need to create more turnovers, especially if you're going to be a unit that gives up a lot of points and a lot of yards on the year like I think you will. But good start for Tennessee's defense. Let's move on to special teams. Chase McGrath, I mean, he was fine. 1-for-1 on field goal attempts, 43 yards, split the uprights. He made all of his extra points. Paxton Brooks, he had 3 punts where he averaged 49 yards. He had 2 inside the 20. That was solid. Overall, the only thing that I would say was not great about special teams was Paxton Brooks. He had 7 kickoffs, only 2 of which were touchbacks. So you gotta up that average there a little bit. But I'll give the special teams an A. It was fine. Coaching, I mean, it was fine. Bowling Green didn't have to coach very hard, right? They'd say, heck no, he's still coaching hard. I'll give you a B. Coaching, there was no reason to make a quarterback change. In my opinion, the game was never in doubt. You worked on what you needed to work on. You controlled the clock. You controlled the run game, which I thought was great. Kind of just was what it was. I could dive into even more, but I simply don't have time. Coaching overall was fine. I will give it a B. So those are my defensive grades, special team grades, and coaching grades for the defense. Here in segment 2, I did offense in segment 1 if you're just now joining us, so hope you agree with them. You know, what do you agree? Do you disagree? Again, offensively, quarterback C, running backs A, tight ends B minus. You have the wide receivers a C, the offensive line a B minus. Defensive line a B, linebacker C, defensive backs B, special teams A, coaching B. Where did I go wrong? You know those DMs are open at _Caner at Locked On Vols. We'll go over my notes from the rewatch in segment number 3, but first, let's check out Built Bar. 9 delicious flavors, plus the Eliminadime flavor that I like those cookies and cream. That's my favorite flavor. Do you know what your favorite flavor is? If not, you can order a mix box of all the Built Bar flavors where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors in your box. What flavors? Well, you got coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, and double chocolate. Also, you have salted caramel. There's something for everyone. Find one that you like. And you need to, because these are protein bars that look and taste like a candy bar covered in 100% chocolate. They taste great. They're fantastic. And they only have, you know, around 130 calories. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, with about 17 grams of protein, which is incredible. So they're great for now. They're great for a late afternoon snack. They're great after a workout. They're protein bars that are fantastic for you and great for that guy or gal looking to lose or maintain weight. So right now, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Go to promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. And man, this last weekend was so much fun in college football. Thursday, we had some games. Friday, we had a game. Saturday, we had a ton of games. Sunday, a little bit of games. And tonight for Labor Day, we get a good football game on as well. And you can play all that action at betonline.ag. Not just college, but pro too. The NFL, it starts this week. And you can, at betonline.ag, you can play in the world's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. That's open right now at BetOnline. You can head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. It's incredible, right? 100% welcome bonus for first-time users. You can also take advantage of the opening day super promo by using the NFL code, or using the promo code NFL100. What's that super promo? Well, you make a bet on the Buccaneers-Cowboys game on Thursday, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only, again, with the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, from football to basketball, boxing, right up to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage. Do it today to find out all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook expert. It's been a fun show so far, handing out grades to Tennessee's position groups. Looking back at the film on Sunday afternoon, I have some notes, and I'm looking forward to sharing those with you here before we officially flip the script and look towards Pittsburgh for the rest of the week. Hello, guys. Eric Kane here on Locked On Vols, radio personality and a contributor to the Rival site covering Tennessee football here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Twitter Tuesday coming up tomorrow. Send those DM or those tweets into @_Caner and at Locked On Vols. Going back through and watching the game, again, it's never as great as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. I thought the offensive line, again, and we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. I mean, I thought the offensive line did a great job. Having to navigate through the injury of Cooper Mays at center, sliding Jerome Carvin down from guard to center, and then bringing in, wait for it, Ollie Lane. And I thought Ollie Lane played well. There was one touchdown run. Let's look for it here in the third quarter. When Ollie Lane, he pulled on a trap, kicked out the MN on the line of scrimmage. Fant, who was lined up as the H-back, you know, goes split zone, goes straight upfield, takes on the linebacker, and allowed Evans to get into the end zone relatively easy. That was a really, really nice play that stood out to me that I thought was pretty good. You know, overall with Jabari Small and Tyon Evans both, I thought both those guys, especially Evans, displayed great vision. Evans had great feet, just continuing to run hard, knowing when to bounce out or when to cut up, and Jabari Small did as well. Again, I thought the tandem of Small and Evans was fantastic on Thursday, and Jalen Wright got into the ball game and showed a little bit about what he can do. And Jalen Wright's a guy that Tennessee will count on this year very, very, you know, much as that number three running back in specific roles and packages, as well as just being another option on the ground. I thought Elijah Simmons, we flip over to defense real quick. I thought Elijah Simmons split double teams very, very well. He's great use of his hands. You know, I went out and watched Walter Nolan at Powell and Deshaun Bishop at Carnes on Friday night. They were playing each other. And something I made note of Walter Nolan, I mean, I feel like I'm on the Walter Nolan beat because I've gone and watched him play his first 3 weeks of the season, one of which he was playing Mayor while I was already there for my Rivalry Thursday duties on television. And I said, Walter Nolan uses his hands so well. Dip and rip, the slash, the cuts, you know, knowing where to put your hands in terms of taking on an offensive lineman or taking on a blocker, the shed. That's something that I saw Elijah Simmons do very, very well on Thursday night. And so I did made note of that. Punt returners. Okay, Tennessee had Theo. Tennessee had Trayvon Flowers. I think Tennessee had another punt returner there towards the end of the game at some point. And Trayvon Flowers let that ball roll a ton. Like, if you're a punt returner, it's a fearless position in football. It's dangerous. It's tough. But you've got to be fearless. You got to go up, and when people are flying bullets all across your face, you got to go up and make a catch. Even if it's a fair catch, you got to go over there and field the ball to save field position. You know, Trayvon Flowers and Theo Jackson were back a lot of the time. Theo actually had one return, which was fine, but those guys are fielding, playing deep, and Trayvon Flowers let that ball roll a ton. You can't do that. You got to go up there and dive on that football in order to save a field position, and so I thought that was something that Tennessee needs to work on moving forward. Cedric Tillman, a wide receiver, he was bigger, he was faster, he manhandled those defensive backs. There's a reason Joe Milton tried to hit him twice on those deep throws, one of which I will say was completely horrifically overthrown. That was the first one. The second one, yes, it was overthrown, but boy, it was close. Watching it on the tape, it was close, and Tillman gave it a heck of an effort too, trying to lay out and make that catch. You know, I thought that was a lot closer than what I thought it was initially watching it live at the stadium. Milton, he does really good on the read option. I mentioned his second touchdown run. It was probably the wrong read, but he just out-athleted that linebacker and that defensive end that stayed put. The reason Milton is such a difference maker is even when he's struggling throwing the football, his ability to run, his ability for the coaching staff to call design runs for Joe Milton. You can't do that. You can do a little bit of that with Hendon Hooker. You can't do that with Harrison Bailey. You couldn't do that with Jerry Garantano. That's why Joe Milton in short yardage situations and on the goal line is going to be so critical. It's an added layer that the defense has to play for. I mean, you got to prepare for it. And Joe Milton can do just that. The success coming out of the locker room for Bowling Green in quarter number two, and in the SEC Network, they touched on this. Cole Kubelik touched on this in his report, and it's something I noticed in the second quarter, and I made note of it in my phone here. Bowling Green was having successes because they would come to the line, Tennessee would make its call, then Bowling Green would check off that call. Okay, they were saying, you check, I check, I think is what Cole Kubelik kind of phrased it as on the network there. Bowling Green would come out, they'd see what Tennessee is. Tennessee would come out, look at Bowling Green, call its defense, then Bowling Green would call its play. So it was you check, we check. And also, they called a lot of hashtag man beaters, which means Tennessee played in cover one a ton, and they run a lot of crossing routes. They run a lot of picks with the wide receiver, which is technically illegal, but you can get away with it, and good teams know how to get away with it. So Bowling Green was able to beat cover one in quarter number two to move the football around because they ran a lot of combination routes, a lot of crossing routes, especially shallow, and a lot of picks with its wide receivers when going off of checking off what Tennessee was in. I thought that was a really cool note. So anyway, those are a couple of notes I have. I thought Ollie Lane played well. It was never too much for him coming into that ball game. I thought Jalen McCullough played pretty well. Jeremy Banks played well, I thought. I did not think Solon Page or Aaron Beasley had a great game being at the backup linebacker spots, but again, it's just game number one. So overall, exactly what it was supposed to be. A lot of tape to improve on. A lot of things to work on. Tennessee will need better quarterback play. I'm not saying Tennessee won't. Tennessee will need more consistent quarterback play from Joe Milton in game number two for Tennessee to be victorious over Pitt and have a chance at some of these toss-up games down the line. Quarter one was fantastic. You saw the highs and the lows of the Tennessee offense. Quarter one, you had two touchdown drives. The first two times you touched the ball that were, here we go, going through my book here, 12 plays, 66 yards, 2:59 off the clock. 8 plays, 67 yards, 2:01 off the clock. After the halftime break coming out the third quarter, Tennessee, 8 plays, 72 yards, 1:58 off the clock. In the third quarter, the other touchdown scoring drive, Tyon Evans, 5 plays, 54 yards, 1:18 off the clock. Tennessee came out of the breaks at the start of the game and out of halftime playing very well out of the gate. Fast starts, that's great. But also that second quarter happened where Tennessee possessed the football only a little over 2 minutes. That's not great. But Tennessee got what it was supposed to out of Bowling Green. You came here, you took a butt whooping, you took your money, and you went home. Now it's time to correct and get better, moving on to Pittsburgh in week number two. That'll do it here for a Monday show. Hope you guys enjoyed my grading system, my analysis. We will check in with Pat Narduzzi, who joined the Nation on Sunday night. We'll have audio from him. Josh Heupel meets with the media later today. We'll have audio and comments from him. And of course, Twitter Tuesday. That is coming up on tomorrow's show. Get me in your questions, your comments, your concerns, and we'll go over it all on a Twitter Tuesday show tomorrow. Guys, Locked On Vols, we're done here, but Locked On Bets with your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. That's the next podcast you should check out. Get your daily picks, your blowout specials, your wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag or wherever you get your podcast. Locked On Vols, completely free for you on anywhere you get your podcast, any listening devices. You got Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, completely free, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I enjoy it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk more about Tennessee football tomorrow on a Tuesday. Until then, guys, enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody.